If you're comfortably able to do so, will you stand? Don't think you know where I'm headed. I'm not going to ask you to meet anyone, okay? I'm going to ask you to do something much more uncomfortable than that. I don't do this all the time, but occasionally I'm going to ask you just to move at least one row forward and at least one chair in. If you want to come 5 rows and 10 chairs, whatever you want. We're looking for family today, so just come on in. There's plenty of room. Stick to the script, Mary Lou. If there was one, I would. Okay. All right. Great. Thank you for coming a little closer. Here's what I want to do this morning. I want to start with a moment of silence. And when I say moment, it might be a minute or two. I don't know where you find yourself in your life this morning, your walk with God, where that is, your relationships with others, how that's feeling, happy, sad, difficult, anxious, excited, confident. You know, I could go on and on. I love adjectives. I don't know where you are, but God knows where you are. And God knows that you're here because he determined before the foundation of time that you would be here this morning. He knew the people that would be gathered. And I've been speaking now for a couple of weeks on the fact that Jesus has sent us into the world. In the same way that the Father has sent Jesus, Jesus has sent us. So Jesus is in you as you walked in this morning. So Jesus is here in a lot of forms, in a lot of ways, and we're going to hear from him this morning. Honestly, I just don't know how yet. So I want to take a minute or two in silence, and this is what I'll ask you to do, is focus this morning in this time of silence on Thanksgiving. Whatever might be difficult in your life, God probably knows all about that from us, right? Let's just spend a minute or so just thanking God silently for what is, for what he has done, for what he has provided, for the protection and the confidence that we do walk in, for the joyful parts of our lives. And just take a big deep breath and let it out and settle into the present moment where God is, giving every breath and leading and guiding. And I'll open us and then I'll just give us some silence. God, thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you, God, for our presence here, that you determined that we ought to be here together, gathered around Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, and with your power, loving and caring for one another. So we sit now, Lord, in silence and just give our silent thanksgiving to you. Amen. Didn't that feel nice? You know, the Quakers have a saying. It goes something like, don't speak unless you can improve upon the silence, I think is the way they say it. And I think that we all too often rush into speaking and rush into getting our thoughts out and forget that there's an incredible power in just being silent before the one who created all things. But after that, I'm going to ask you to speak. We've been in this series, I'm just calling Sent, the verse from John chapter 20. That's been sort of the theme of this this series. Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So this, for us, is a past and a present activity. The Father has sent us. The Father is sending us. The Father has given us the Holy Spirit. And the Father is giving us the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, by his Spirit, is within you if you walk in this morning and you're in Christ. And in these last couple of weeks, he's been in you as you've been working on that sent piece of being in the world. So I'd love to hear what's happening. I'd love to hear some testimony. I'd love to hear what it's been like for you to have been sent into the world. So if you've got something to share this morning, an encouragement, a way that God spoke to you, a way that God spoke through you, it's not pride to tell us all how God used you for his glory. In fact, you look in the Psalms, one of the main things the psalmists say is, come into the gathering, come into the assembly, and testify of God's power and goodness. So we get to obey that command. And you already know I'm comfortable with silence, so. Who would like to share first? You've been sent. God's been using you.
Good morning. My name is Mary Lou Beeson, and I had the privilege a week ago of shopping at Walgreens and buying milk. As I was leaving, the cashier was talking about her aches and pains and things and wasn't feeling well. And then I just happened to get a phone call as I was paying for it, and I wanted to pray for her, but I went out to the car to take the call. But then, you know, I'm just sitting out there in the car. And when the call was over, you know, I'm like, you know, I could go back in there and still pray for her. So I went back in and asked her if I could pray for her, if she was open to that. And she was very open to it. In fact, she took me to an aisle where no one was. And, you know, I wanted to even ask, you know, if I can put my hands on you. But she put her hands on me first. And you know, I just prayed for her. And she, you know, just her whole countenance, just for her to know that God saw her and loved her and cared enough. And I said, you know, I never shop at this Walgreens. And she said, well, you came here today for me. So anyhow, praise the Lord.
That's great.
Good morning. My name is Mary Lou Beeson, and I had the privilege a week ago of shopping at Walgreens and buying milk. As I was leaving, the cashier was talking about her aches and pains and things and wasn't feeling well. And then I just happened to get a phone call as I was paying for it, and I wanted to pray for her, but I went out to the car to take the call. But then, you know, I'm just sitting out there in the car. And when the call was over, you know, I'm like, you know, I could go back in there and still pray for her. So I went back in and asked her if I could pray for her, if she was open to that. And she was very open to it. In fact, she took me to an aisle where no one was. And, you know, I wanted to even ask, you know, if I can put my hands on you. But she put her hands on me first. And you know, I just prayed for her. And she, you know, just her whole countenance, just for her to know that God saw her and loved her and cared enough. And I said, you know, I never shop at this Walgreens. And she said, well, you came here today for me. So anyhow, praise the Lord.
That's great. I didn't get to run this morning, so this is good for me.
Hi, my name is Amy Mathis, and I really wasn't expecting to do this. So, I guess my story is pretty simple. I'm a mom of two little children, and I'd say for the past few years, it's really easy to feel like, okay, I'm not other than for my children. I don't really do anything for God. I don't serve anywhere. I'm not in ministry. I'm too busy and overwhelmed, and, you know, maybe someday I'll do something for God. And I know that's wrong, but yet I still feel that way. So, and here recently, I find in my neighborhood, and circles I'm in outside of church, it's all of a sudden I feel like God's opening my eyes to about maybe six different women that I'm around regularly, and none of them are believers. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute. He wants to use me here somewhere, and they're all moms, and they all are in different places with God. Some of them are a little closed off, and some of them don't care. And one of them, I feel is her heart's really soft and open. And I met with her the other day, and she just recently went through three miscarriages, and I had the opportunity to pray with her, and now I'm meeting with her regularly, and I feel like she really wants encouragement from the Lord. And I don't know, I'm excited because I feel like right where I'm at, he can use me and I don't have to go to some different situation in my life. So I'm excited about that and a little scared.
But. Great, thanks, Amy. That's awesome. I will just remind you that raising two human people from birth is doing something serious for God. And you can't do it without God. So, yeah. Great.
I was really, Dale, my name is Dale, and you know, before I stood up, I felt really great, and then when I stood up, all the blood drained out of my head here, and this is a story that's a couple years old, but I'm going to share it because it's a beginning of a new transition or a phase in my life, but I go to an optometrist who's just north of Glendale Shopping Center. It's called Vision Care. And there's a woman there named Carol, and she works at Vision Care because she likes to collect eyeglasses. And the racks that you see in optometrist stores, she has these in her home. She has hundreds of pairs of glasses that she... and seriously, I'm not kidding. She has hundreds of pairs of glasses. Somebody from the newspaper should do an article about her because of all her glasses. But anyway, I was getting fitted for glasses myself that day, and I'd gone there for years, and I know Carol kind of. Not really well, but I was making fun of her because she wasn't wearing any glasses that day. And she said, oh, it's this thing I've got. She had a chronic neck ache, and sometimes wearing glasses makes it worse. And I had been coming here, I'd been coming here a couple months, okay? I'd done a couple things in Jacqueline's office, you know, and done a few of those things. And why these words came out of my mouth, I'll never know, because I'm not normally a very engaging person like this, but I just said, can I pray for you about that? And before those, I had no plan, okay? those words were out of my mouth before I knew what I would say next. And so it was like, the words are out of my mouth now, and now I have to do something. Now I have to pray for her. And we were in this, you know, optometrist fitting room, you know, by ourselves, and there was no one else around, and so I just reached across the table and put my hand on hers and started praying for her. Can't remember a thing I said, okay? I'm pretty sure it wasn't eloquent. I'm pretty sure, you know, if it was spirit-filled, that was all him, because it wasn't me, and I was nervous. I didn't know what I was doing, so I hadn't been to the Healing on the Streets training or anything, so just praying for this person that she should be healed, and, you know, nothing happened right there on the spot. But when I came back to pick up my glasses, she'd said that she hadn't had pain since. Wow. And so I'm telling you this two-year-old story because it emboldened me to pray for more people. I'm unemployed, well, underemployed at the moment. I work at a Chick-fil-A in Noblesville. And when I see someone come in who has an obvious impairment of some kind, usually it's someone on a cane or crutches or limping or something like that, I offer to pray for them. And sometimes it's deadly inconvenient. You know, I'm behind the cash register, there's a long line, there's all sorts of reasons why I should not be unfaithful to my boss and go out and pray for a person in the dining room. But I do. I go out and pray for these people, and on a good day I get 100% of them, and on a bad day I get like 50% of the people I see. And you know, on the days that I miss some, I have this realization that maybe God sent them to Chick-fil-A this day just so someone could pray for them. So I encourage you, and I know there are people I'm missing. There might be people with heart problems or kidney problems that don't show on the outside, that I can't see, that I can't tell. So I pray for more discernment that way. But I encourage you, there are people out there that are hurting. So, you know, go to this, here's the commercial. Go to the training, you know, go to the training. Try it. It's, remember the power that God has given you. So, and pray for us who are doing this, because it's not easy sometimes. And there's always that embarrassment factor. But for me, I consider courage to be the realization that the alternative is worse. What happens to that person if you don't pray for them?
Would you like some Chick-fil-A sauce and a healing with that? I can't resist.
I've been debating on whether to say this or not, because actually, by the way, my name's Mike, for those of you who don't know. I'm kind of actually speaking from the other side of this. I'm just so thankful to work at a place that encourages people to watch out for each other, to look out for each other, because I've had a couple of instances at work where I have been totally lost and, you know, depressed and things like that, and people have come to me and started asking if they could pray for me, and it's just been such an encouragement. And on the other hand, too, I've had people who have noticed that in the past 3 or 4 weeks, I've not been using my scooter. I haven't used my scooter at work for 4 weeks now because my feet are beginning to really be healed. I'm seeing a lot of healing. I've had people coming to me and telling me that they've been praying for me. Thank you for anyone here who's been praying for me as well. But I'd just like to speak from the other side of, you know, people who have come up to me and said they wanted to pray for me and were praying for me.
Thanks, Randy. I'm Alan. Two brothers had approached me and or had expressed to me that they were very interested in having a deeper walk with the Lord. And listening to Randy last week, he was talking about speaking in tongues and doing that. So I talked to them and expressed to them that, you know, you're speaking mysteries to the Father. And that's your language. That's your spirit talking to the Father. And you're aligning yourself. You're aligning your soul and your body as you're speaking to the Father. And that's that deeper relationship. And they both wanted that. And so I laid hands on them and on one of them. And he started to talk and we started to speak. And I started to encourage him, you know, just let it go. And he started to speak in tongues. And, you know, we both started laughing about that as well. And the other person was that I talked to as well. Same situation. He's been a Christian for a long time. And he had expressed that he wanted a deeper walk and protection as well. So I talked to him about the speaking in tongues and speaking mysteries to the Lord and praying in the Spirit with him, because Father is Spirit, right? So he started to speak, and I laid hands on him, and we started to pray, and he started to speak in his new language. And I encouraged both of them to practice and encourage and develop that language.
Thanks, Alan. That's great. What a gift. Alan got to give the gift of intimacy with God. If that's something that you're longing for this morning, you want to know God in a deeper way, whether he gives that to you in the gift of a new tongue or a deeper walk with him in another way, I'd encourage you, have Alan pray for you or anyone up here in the ministry team. We'd love to pray for you. Anybody else? There's at least one unsuspecting person. I don't know who it is, but there's at least one person who's saying, I'm not going to say anything, but they're really supposed to say something.
My name is Darlene, and I got here a little late today, so I'm not sure what I'm getting the gist of your storytelling, but so basically what I'm learning is that it doesn't have to be difficult to meet people where they are and be practical. And so I didn't get to pray in the situation, but I got to be basically a servant and be bold. And I'm not normally one to stop and do a U-turn, but I've been doing a lot of U-turns lately in my life, in the past 6 months, maybe to a year. And just noticed some construction workers on the road in Fishers, and they were, you know, doing the last minute detailing of the roads. And the sun was setting, I could see they were in a hurry. And then I got this picture of water, like 2 cups of water, or maybe 3, I don't know, I don't remember. I just thought of water. And I just sensed in my spirit they're thirsty, you know. And I thought, oh, okay, that's nice to know. They're thirsty. And I just kept driving. And then I got this impression, like, Lord, is that you speaking to me? Do you want me to turn around? And I got this resonating, yes, turn around. And so I turned around. And I thought, I'm a female. You know, people don't just do this. And Can I just go through a drive-thru real quick and kind of, you know, drive by and hand it to them and leave? But I pulled into the gas station and I got three bottled waters. And just started walking over to them from the parking lot. And I can tell you, I was just like, what am I doing? And I thought, of course they're going to be thirsty. You know, this is not, they're not going to turn this away. And I didn't know what I was going to say. And I just, you know, it was like stopping a bulldozer, you know, stopping these three guys. Like, excuse me, can I bother you for a second? And they just kind of looked at me like, where did you come from and who are you and why are you here? Get out of our way kind of thing, you know, like we're on a mission. And I said, I've got some water I'd love to give you. It must have been a hot day today. I'm sure you're thirsty. And I'll just set these right here for you. And I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. And one of them looked at me and went, like when I said it must have been hot today, just like he stopped in his tracks, like, you see me? You know my pain that I went through. And the other gentleman was just like, well, thank you. Thank you very much. We don't get kind stuff very often, you know. And then as I walked away, you know, just no strings attached, just set it there, I thought, yeah, they must get beat up on, you know, verbally with construction. And it was a real teachable moment for me to be aware of just people around me that are serving, you know, and just in that capacity. And so I was able to say thank you for the work that you're doing, you know, for just the road construction and all of that. And it just, it turned it around, and I got to see a different side where he just kept saying, thank you, you know. It was encouraging for me.
Thanks, Darlene. out in the world, construction workers might have something to say to women walking by. From the church, women walking by have something to say to construction workers. Because that's what it means to be sent into the world by Jesus. Anybody else? Okay, good.
I don't even know why I'm doing this. Okay, my name is Lachey, and I'm not a talker, but my heart is like pounding, and my story is kind of, it's old, but I don't even know why I'm saying it, but 2010. I think it's just to say, like, to where God can bring you. Like, if you're in any kind of situation or anything, God can bring you out of anything. It was in 2010-9, and I could basically be facing 1 to 5 years in prison because I love somebody else more than I love myself and love God. So all that comes to say, like, I was in jail for, like, 10 days, and I never cried or anything. And I would just sit there, and people were like, why are you here? I couldn't really tell you I was here. Like, I knew why, but I didn't know why. And everybody kept telling me, like, you've never been, and you don't cry. I'm like, no, I'm fine. But in my heart, it was on a Sunday, it was Easter, and I was there, and a lady said, come and pray. Like, who wants to pray? And I'm like, not me. But inside I wanted to, but I didn't know how to. So I prayed, and I closed my eyes, and I prayed, and everybody, when I opened up my eyes, was on the floor crying. Everybody cried. People who didn't even believe in God said, oh my God, you're going to church, that's stupid. And from that jail, I went to another jail, because that's where the other county was. And I don't know, and now I'm here. I'm not from here, I'm from Dayton. And my mom always said, and the preachers at both churches, at both jails were like, something about you. And I'm just like, okay, I'm just regular, nothing special, just regular girl. But I'm starting to realize more and more. As I went to different jails, you've seen the girls that were like, oh my God, like, look at your nails. And it's just like the little things we take for granted, fingernail polish, like, really? And just, I don't know. I don't even know what to say and why this story came out, but now I'm here. I'm an operations manager. I have 3 promotions within the last year. I had 3 interviews with big companies. Like, I went from nothing to something. So I don't know why I said it, but if there's anybody that feels like there's nothing to look forward to, that they feel like your life is just a dump, or you feel like, why me? Like, there's a reason that we're all here. And, like, the little things that's the saying to pray for somebody. the people that you might not even notice, they may have the smile on, like, oh yeah, everything is fine, life is great. Trust me, there's a story behind every person. So make sure if you have that chance to say, hey, God bless you, have a great day, have a blessed day, make sure we get that out there, because God is with us, he's coming back. And just make sure that we let people know, you know, life is difficult. Yes, it's very difficult. My life isn't perfect, but at the same time, I know that God is there with me all the time. So whenever you can get a chance to share God's word or how great he is, please do so. And I don't know why this story came out, but it did. And I had to say it because my heart was like, oh, my God. So thank you guys for listening to me.
I guess it's testify or have a heart attack, you know. Which is glad you chose the former. Okay, good. Let me just read a couple of scriptures before we go to communion. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. It's just interesting, as we've heard the stories about people being sent. In fact, how many people stood up and said, I don't even know why I'm standing. I don't know what I'm going to say. Or I engaged a person, but I didn't know what was coming next. Jesus did know what was coming next when the Father sent him. He knew his mission was crystal clear, and it was to give his life away. So if we've been sent in the same way that the Father sent Jesus, then we've been sent to give. I mean, that is a primary purpose in the life of the believer, to give. And what's interesting is so often we think, I don't have anything to give, or I don't have enough to give, or I don't know what I'd give. And yet we just heard 5 or 6 stories of people giving out of places they didn't even know were in them. And so I just encourage us today at the end of this series about being sent. It is not all about foresight. It is not all about determining where we'll go or what we'll do. It's so much about responding to God's invitation in the moment. Responding to God's invitation to give. There is a way that we follow Jesus, which is giving our lives. We give consistently. You know, week after week, we give in the church. We give to the poor. We give to one another. We give to those in need. We give in secret. And God is so honored by that lifestyle of giving. The generous lifestyle that says, I'll give what you've given to me. I'll give when you incline me to. I'll give even when it doesn't make sense. I'll stand up and give out what I don't even know why I'm doing this. God has sent us in the same way that he sent Jesus. You know, I was thinking this morning, how many times do you think that when Jesus, you know, we see Jesus in the gospel, gets up to speak, I wonder how many times he had actually prepared for that message. Of course, the theme is here. I had messages that I didn't think were for today. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to get up there with nothing. And I felt like he said, well, it's kind of the way Jesus did it. I mean, how often do you feel like you go into work and I got nothing today? Maybe you talk to your spouse. I got nothing. Well, I think half the time Jesus must have gone into those crowds. And, you know, he's looking up at the Father like, are you kidding me? 5,000 people. I got nothing. And the Lord says, no, you got plenty. You know, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. What more do you need? Because God always responds to a generous heart. I mean, the generous heart of people comes from the generous heart of God. We love because we've first been loved. We give because God's given to us. And that sacrificial lifestyle of giving, however we do that, is a lifestyle that's blessed by God. And so it's interesting. Paul says it. We don't see where it's recorded by Jesus, but in Acts 10:35, Paul says, you know, I came here and I worked among you. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So Paul, who didn't even walk with Jesus physically, he saw him on the road, right? But Paul knew. I mean, the sort of one of the central things that Paul quotes of Jesus is this. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, Mike, it's blessed to receive, right? I mean, we all know what it's like to receive. There's a blessedness. But when you give what God's given to you, when you respond to the initiative of God, when you step out past your comfort zone, 2 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about giving from our poverty. He's not saying go into poverty to give. He's saying recognize that everything you have comes from God. So when you give, even out of a place of want, the blessing of God comes with it. The blessing of God comes with it. Matthew 10:8, Jesus is talking to the disciples. He sends them out. And he's sending them to heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and care for the poor and preach the kingdom of God. And he says, freely you've received, freely give. Well, I just think that's a great tagline for the end of this series, being sent. As we all have received freely, we are to freely give. And my prayer is that as a community of people, that we would be characterized by that generous spirit of giving. Financially, absolutely. To the poor, absolutely. To the ones in need, absolutely. To the ones close to us that we love, yes. To our enemies, absolutely. When we have plenty, yes. When we're in want, yes. Because we give out of the giving heart of God. We give just the same way that Jesus came and gave his life. I mean, the Bible says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many. And we get to imitate Jesus. It's Jesus living his life through us when we give. Just close with the one quote I had for the day from G.K. Chesterton about 150 years ago, but it's a classic. This was his kind of motto in life. He was a preacher, writer, philosopher in England, late 1800s, early 1900s. And he says this: nothing taken for granted, everything received with gratitude, everything passed on with grace. If we would walk like that, the glory of God that we would see through our lives. Nothing taken for granted. That's an attitude of thanksgiving. Everything received with gratitude, realizing that God has given everything that we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And everything passed along with grace. What's grace? Giving what people don't deserve. And when we pass along the grace that God's given to us, we're giving from God's heart. Whatever that is, our spiritual gifts, our time, our finances, our resources, the places that we live, you know, our emotion, our compassion, we're giving out of the heart of God. And the kingdom goes forward when we do it. Let's pray. Communion servers, you can come forward and we'll prepare to receive what God has freely given to us, his very body and blood. Lord, we thank you that you have, Father, you sent the Son Jesus to this world not to be served, though he deserved it as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that we would receive and be blessed by the same giving heart of Jesus. Lord, that our eyes would be open to need and our ears would be attentive to your voice, that our hearts would be in tune with faithfulness to give as you've given to us. Lord, we want to be a cleansed vessels that you can use, that your spirit and your resources and your love and power and compassion can flow through us. So, Father, do that in us and through us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.